This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Not so very long ago, stores around the country laid in supplies of pencils, erasers, and calculators for this week, while post offices braced for the annual rush of last-minute tax filers. Times have changed. This year, an estimated 14 million people are using their computers to prepare their taxes, and unprecedented numbers are zapping their forms to the IRS on the e-filing system. But even with those options, April 14th always comes as a shock to millions who suddenly realize they've got till tomorrow midnight to file. In a few minutes, we'll speak with a former IRS commissioner about the major obstacles to tax collection and the truth behind audits, and with a U.S. attorney at the Justice Department who's part of a crackdown on tax fraud. Later in the program, indictments against men from Texas, Bulgaria, and England stemming from the U.N. Oil for Food program in Iraq. And we'll go out to RFK Stadium, where preparations are underway for a presidential first pitch as Major League Baseball returns to the nation's capital. But first, tax day. If you've changed the way you file over the years, give us a call. Whether you e-filed or filled out the form on paper, how did it go? We'd like to hear from chronic procrastinators, too. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can email us, too. The address is totn@npr.org. Bert Dumars is in charge of electronic filing at the Internal Revenue Service, and he's with us here in Studio 3A in Washington. Nice of you to come in on what must be a pretty busy day.
Yes, and thanks for having me. Yes, it's a very busy day. We're right near the end of the filing season, and we've actually had a banner year in e-file. We actually just crossed today all of the e-file returns we did for the entire year last year. So we've had tremendous growth, and it looks like this year, for the first time ever, more than half of the people who do file an individual tax return will e-file a return.
And do those, you said by today you've matched the number of e-files you got from last year. Are you expecting another rush tonight? I mean, do the servers at the IRS crash at midnight?
No, the servers are actually running very well. And this has actually been a very good season for our IT organization with regards to e-file. When I say for the whole filing season, we have the two extensions, one in July and one later in October. And we received 61.5 million returns last year in all of that time frame. This year, we've already passed that in the regular inside the April 15th time frame.
And I've heard estimates that you now expect over half of taxpayers to use electronic filing.
Yes, we're expecting anywhere from 66 to 68 million returns will be e-filed this year.
Mm-hmm. And again, for e-filers, is the big deadline April 15th?
Yes, it is for them, just as it is for everybody else. They have the midnight date as well. The interesting thing with e-file, though, is a lot of e-filers come in different time frames during the filing season. We have two major peaks for e-file, one in the January-February time frame, another in the early March time frame, and then they keep coming right to the end right now.
Now, the IRS wants us to file electronically, don't they?
Yes, it's much more efficient. It's very secure. And the one great thing about e-file is, and think about this, if you give us a paper return, we don't give you an acknowledgement. But if you e-file, you get an acknowledgement, you know we got it timely, and also people who have refunds, which is the majority of all taxpayers, get their refunds much faster.
And one thing, does it cost money to file electronically?
Well, if you use a software company or a software package, or you go online, or you use a paid preparer, and we have to remember that the majority of people use a paid preparer also, e-filing sometimes typically will have a cost associated with it. Taxpayers also have the option of using free file, and they can get to that through irs.gov. And that's for those taxpayers who, maybe affordability is an issue, or maybe it's their first time trying e-file, and all they've been using is a stamp in the past, or they hand wrote it. So this is their option as well.
Let's get some callers on the line. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Since we've got the director of the Electronic Tax Administration of the IRS here with us, call us and tell us if you filed electronically, and if so, how did it go? John's calling from Minneapolis.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the program.
Sure.
I just wanted to give you a call to mention that I did file through a preparer this year.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, I made an earnest attempt to file my own taxes online, but found that unless the tax code is simplified, it still doesn't help a guy like me much that is blasted with forms that I'm not that I don't recognize in language that I don't speak very well.
The forms are not written in it's never been confused with Hemingway.
Well, you know, there's and part of that is the tax code. The tax code has a level of complexity to it that drives the different forms and the complexity of the forms themselves. And we understand that, and we actually have teams that are working on that, constantly trying to improve it. But one of the best ways to get around that is to actually use a software package where they take you through an interview process. And if you've ever used something like a TurboTax or an H&R Block software, mm-hmm. or even if you go into the pay preparer, they typically don't say, here, fill this form out. They go, let me get your income, what your deductions are, and they walk you through an interview process. Software sure. does the same thing, so does the online.
And they ask questions like, did you know that, for example, this year you can write off all the dog food you're buying or whatever it is.
Right. This year the big one was you could write off your sales taxes instead of your income tax, your state income taxes. So that was one of the big options for this mm-hmm. year.
So, John, when you tried to do it was just confusing, or did the arithmetic get you after a while?
Well, I ended up receiving some tax credits from a foreign stock that I held. And the schedule that I got with that, the K-1, I was not at all familiar with. So, even going through the interview process and trying to identify what specific information they were looking for on the program that I was using, how that corresponded to, the K-1, mm-hmm. just didn't seem to jive very well.
So next year, make less money. That's the solution, John.
Well, either that or else go into the tax preparation business.
Well, I would say that you probably did take the right approach by using a tax preparer, because it sounds like your return was pretty complex relative to the majority of people. And, and there are a lot of people who have fairly complex returns. We live in a complex society, so... using a tax preparer is not the wrong solution either. And, when you do, make sure they e-file it, because that'll get you, if you have a refund, it'll get it for you faster. And if not, at least you get the acknowledgement, it was filed timely.
I will say that the preparer that I did use did e-file, and that was a very smooth process once we got underway.
Oh, okay. Great.
John, thanks very much, and good luck.
Yeah, thanks for my call.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Carol, and Carol's calling from Unalaska, Wisconsin.
Yes, I'm currently in TurboTax right now, trying to finish my taxes, and I would like to possibly e-file this year. We normally do it on paper, but I'm concerned about how you do the electronic signature.
Oh, how it actually works?
Yeah.
Have you gone through the process yet in TurboTax? Or?
I'm almost done adding everything in.
So, the way it works, and this is how we actually validate, it's gonna ask you, of course, also your Social Security numbers and those types of information, but also it's gonna ask you for your income, your adjusted gross income from last year's return.
Okay, got that.
And then it'll ask you to select your own PIN number.
Okay.
And once you've done that, you've actually that's created your signature, and then we can accept it.
Oh, okay.
So it's fairly simple.
So the PIN number is your signature, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And you select that yourself. And then you just keep that information and wait until you get your acknowledgement. Your acknowledgement will come back to you within 48 hours.
And do you have to remember that PIN number again for next year?
No, you can select a different PIN number in the future.
So you don't have to file it away somewhere where...
Right.
All right.
And electronically filing, will it help us that... We always have problems that estimated tax payments end up in the wrong Social Security number.
Oh, well, that actually that can occur because the numbers are transposed in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
And electronic filing actually does that, because when you submit the return,
okay.
if there are errors that associate your Social Security number with somebody else,
uh-huh.
it'll actually give you back an error and ask you to change, to validate your Social Security number.
Okay.
And, that's where most of the errors come in. It's a Social Security number was wrongly input, or it's math errors, which the software actually helps you with that.
Well, we've always had problems the last 2 years in the Social Security number wrong on the estimated tax payment, and they're putting it in the wrong file.
Okay, so, and when you use TurboTax, you actually get the estimated tax payment coupons as well at
right.
the end.
Okay.
So make sure that Social Security number's right on there.
Okay, I will.
Good luck, Carol. Here's an email question from Wes in Strongsville, Ohio. I don't understand why I should pay a user fee for a system that must be cheaper for the government to utilize.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, and this is a question we get. That's why we've made Free File available for people to try it. What most people have found is they get the benefit, the value of what they pay, they actually get benefit back in that they get the acknowledgement. And for those people who are getting the refund and direct deposited, they get it so much faster. You can get that refund in as little as 10 days, which is a big deal for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, is that, you know, we can't take away the fact that the industry has invested a great deal of money in the software development and in the electronic processes to make sure it's secure, that privacy is protected, and all that work is done so that that's how the system works.
Okay. Let's talk now with Perry. Perry's in Mankato, Minnesota.
Well, hi, guys. How are you all doing?
Pretty good.
Great.
Well, I just wanted to share a few things with you. Last year, we filed electronically for the first time, and like your guest said, our refund was back within 10 days. It was really impressive. This year, I just got my taxes done and found that I had a refund coming, and I was pretty happy again, you know. And next day after that, I went to the post office, and here I had an audit letter.
Oh.
And not a laughing matter, but it wasn't a great deal. It was... something was missed, and to expedite the whole process, I thought I'd pay it by credit card, the amount due. So I went on official payments on the telephone there and did it by credit card, and I was just really impressed. It went really well, simple. I just wanted to give you some kudos for that.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, and that's one of the areas that we're really focusing in on is the ability, if you do owe money, the ability to pay and to do it in an easier fashion. And you use the credit card method, but there's also the debit card method. There's also electronic funds transfer where you can just have it debited out of your account. And, you know, that's one of our fastest growing areas is the people that actually owe money who are using e-file.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, a lot of people didn't use it because they thought, well, there's no benefit to me. But now that area is growing at 38% year over year.
I suppose you still get
people. I wanted to use it, you know, just to make sure that, you know, if I sent a check or a money order or something, that nothing got mishandled and lost or whatever.
Oh, yeah, electronically you get an acknowledgement. You know it's done.
Hmm.
Yep.
I still get people sending in mounds of pennies as some form of protest.
Well, thanks a lot. We'll see
you guys. Okay, Perry. Didn't mean to give anybody any ideas. Anyway, well, we're going to have to take a short break now. When we come back, we'll continue talking about how people file their taxes. And we'll also be joined by a former IRS commissioner to talk to us about how IRS collects those taxes from people who are sometimes reluctant to pay. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today we're talking about how people file their taxes. And, of course, we want to hear from you. Did you e-file this year? How did it go? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Bert Dumars, who's Director of the Electronic Tax Administration at the Internal Revenue Service. And joining us now is Charles Rosati. Most people are honest when they pay their taxes, but a recent IRS study says there's a tax gap of more than $300 billion per year. That's the difference between what individual taxpayers should pay and what is actually collected. Charles Rosati is the former commissioner of the IRS and author of the newly published book, Many Unhappy Returns, One Man's Quest to Turn Around the Most Unpopular Organization in America. Nice to have you on the program, sir.
Good afternoon.
And Mr. Rosati is joining us from the studios of member station WBUR in Boston. How have things changed at the IRS since, in terms of filing, since you first started there?
Well, your show today with your guest from the IRS, Bert, is one of the strongest indications of how things have improved. When I started in 97, there was an electronic filing program, but it was very, very modest, and it was used only by people with the simplest returns. Now, as you're hearing, more than half the people are filing electronically, and I won't repeat all the benefits that has for both the taxpayers and the IRS, but that's a big change. One thing that's interesting to note, that's about a 50% penetration rate or market share, if you want to think of it that way, and there aren't any other consumer financial services that I know of that are more than about maybe a 15% penetration rate. So the IRS is doing maybe 3 to 4 times as well as many people in the private sector in that regard.
IRS, though, does have the capability of motivating its customers, if you will.
Well, it has its capability, motivating them in some ways, but not for electronic filing. You have to think of that as an entirely voluntary decision. There's no requirement to file electronically. In fact, the biggest challenge that we had in promoting the electronic filing program was not only the technology, of course, but the fact that it really was a marketing program, and the IRS was more used to giving out rules than doing marketing programs. Here was a case where we had to persuade people to do it because it was better for them as well as better for the IRS, but most people are more concerned about whether it's better for them.
Now, were you surprised to see not only that sum of $300 billion in uncollected taxes, but that amount of money is from individuals, not from companies?
I wasn't surprised at all, because the study that that was just reported on was something that I started when I was in office. It takes a number of years to do that. And we had estimates from older studies that had been done, you know, quite a few years ago, but what we had tried to extrapolate from them, it showed it was about that much, not quite that much. And remember, that is only individuals, so then you have to add to that corporations. So what you're talking about is basically what I call an honesty tax. If you're honest, you pay more to make up for these free riders that are not paying.
And so a lot of people are cheating on their taxes. But is this the underground economy that we keep hearing about?
Well, a little bit of it is the underground economy, you know, that, like you think of, that people just take cash for raking your leaves or whatever. But that's really not the biggest problem anymore. For one thing, people that are low-income people, which most people in that sector are, really wouldn't owe much income tax anyway. So really, it's much more, and most of it is people who do file returns but don't report all of their income.
Squirreling it away somewhere.
They have a lot of ways of doing it. One way is, of course, as you say, squirreling it away. I mean, we had a project that started when I was there and has been continued under Commissioner Everson to try to track down people who are hiding it offshore in tax havens, for example. But we got some of the first results back on this. I mean, we were... Even those in the hardened people in the IRS were kind of surprised at the kind of people that were just flat hiding income in tax havens. You know, we had judges, tax lawyers, as well as people from every other occupation you could think of. And, you know, there wasn't any confusion about what they were doing. They were just taking the money from their business, sending it offshore, and hiding it there until they wanted to bring some cash back.
Since we have somebody from the IRS actually here in the studio, I can't say that radio hosts are scrupulously honest. Let's get some more listeners on the line. This is Richard. Richard's calling from Wausau, Wisconsin.
Yes. We've tried to file electronically for several years now. We use a large accounting firm. Mm-hmm. And it will not take a hyphenated name.
It won't take out your name is, for example, Smith-Jones or something like that?
My wife has a hyphenated name.
Okay. Bert Dumars, has got a solution for him?
I'm not sure if I have a solution. We'd have to actually check into that. Have you called our offices to just see if they if that's really a problem that we're seeing? Or
all I can tell you is our accountant has tried it numerous times, and we've asked, and they said they cannot go through. There's a problem.
And the accountant keeps getting an error message back when he tries to e-file?
Apparently so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to be millions of people with hyphenated names.
Yeah, you know, we have a preparer hotline. You might ask him if he's given us a call and see if we could do something about that. There might be a possibility that even if the system can't handle it currently, if we get enough calls, we can actually maybe change the system and work it.
Okay.
Good luck, Richard.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk with Lisa. Lisa's been calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
I've been using the e-filing for several years now, and I was so amazed to get my refund back in 5 business days. And it was really easy. If I made a mathematical error, it corrected me.
You just made Bert Dumars' day.
Yeah, wow, that's great.
It's impossible to screw up, put it this way. If you make a mistake, it tells you, it gives you suggestions. It was right on your IRS website. But the question I have is now with eBay. I haven't sold on eBay in several years now, but I know a lot of people who make a lot of money on eBay. And how is that going to be regulated for people to pay their fair share of taxes?
Isn't there
up now?
Isn't there a correct me if I'm wrong, but Charles Rosati, isn't commerce on the internet tax free?
Well, it's free of state sales taxes, but the income that a person generates from their business by selling goods is not tax free. So, I mean, the fact that you sell something through the internet and gain cash from it, that cash is part of your income, and it's most definitely should be reported on your 1040 return.
And do companies like eBay then report profits to the
IRS?
Well,
no, you've got two different things there.
Yeah. Now,
well,
I report your profits.
No, because they don't know what your profits are. eBay is just a facilitator. All they do, I say all they do, it's an important thing, but they provide, you think of them as like somebody who rented space in a big building, and then you have a stall on there where you sell your goods. Well, they do it electronically. And so they're a facilitator. They provide the resources. But if you're a seller on eBay, you're running a business. Assuming that you're doing a profit and loss and you're making a business out of it. Mm-hmm. So that income, you would be just the same way as if you opened up a cart down the street and sold stuff off your cart.
The IRS does a pretty good job of... Again, that scaring people about possible audits. But you're saying, this $300 billion gap, does the IRS actively pursue tax cheats, so big guys and little guys?
Well, this was one of the things when I took office back in 97, people were pretty angry at the IRS about some of the things being not being able to do routine business well, and, things like e-filing have helped that. But the other thing that they had a point of view on was, the IRS, they're picking on the little guys and letting the big guys get away. That attitude. And one of the reasons they had that attitude is the IRS really hadn't updated its ways of allocating audits and doing enforcement for quite some time. And, of course, the world had changed. There were now global corporations. There was a lot more people with, huge incomes. And the IRS had not kept up. So beginning during the time I was in office, and I'd say continuing very well under Commissioner Everson, the IRS has really reallocated its resources to put more emphasis on the serious tax abusers, and maybe a little less on, you might say, just giving out traffic tickets to people. So it has done that. But as the $300 billion shows, there is a limitation. And the limitation is really two things. One is the tax code is unreasonably complex. So that provides, opportunities for people to manipulate, in gray areas. But the other thing, of course, is the IRS just doesn't have enough resources, to do the job. I mean, even where it knows that there are serious cases of underreporting of income, it can only go after maybe a quarter of those. Mm. And so I used to say it was like being a cop standing in the middle of an intersection with banks on all four corners and robbers robbing all four banks, and all you could do is wave goodbye to three of them because you just were one cop and there were four robbers. That's literally the situation the IRS is in.
Well, if the IRS is the cops, the prosecutors come from the Justice Department. And joining us now to talk about how the government is cracking down on tax fraud is Eileen O'Connor, the Assistant Attorney General in the Tax Division at the U.S. Justice Department. Thanks very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
And that $300 billion, you actually go after the individuals who have tried to skip out on their taxes one way or another.
That's right. The Justice Department does all the tax litigation for the Internal Revenue Service. We defend the tax laws in all the courts except for the tax court, where the IRS lawyers handle the cases.
What's the most common form of tax cheating?
I don't really know what the most common form is, but certainly we have seen quite a bit in the past few years of promotions of various kinds, people declaring for one silly reason or another that they don't owe taxes or their income is not reportable. I think that the recent figures for the tax gap that Commissioner Rosati was just referring to, that the study that came up with that number, the $300 billion number, suggests that the most common form of tax evasion is through failure to report one's income rather than through overstating deductions.
Is this a problem? Are people just trying to be clever here?
People are trying to get away with defrauding the federal treasury and their fellow taxpayers who are picking up the tab.
And what kind of penalties do they face?
They face a variety of penalties. There are civil penalties, of course, but one of the things that you began by alluding to was the fact that tax fraud is a crime and people go to jail for it. Just yesterday in a federal court in California, a man by the name of Al Thompson was sentenced to 6 years in prison for tax evasion. And sentences like that are not uncommon.
How big a fish do you have to be before you're going to meet you?
The IRS does the investigation. It determines whether taxes have been paid or tax laws have been violated and refers the matter over to the Department of Justice. It's important to prosecute tax fraud at all levels. If we went after just the big fish, then little fish would feel like they had a free ticket to cheat the federal treasury, and that's not true either. So we prosecute a broad range of tax crimes.
What is the most creative excuse that you've heard in court?
Well, I'm not sure what I would categorize the most creative, but I think that people who are interested in the sorts of shenanigans that some people play would go to the IRS website and look at its Dirty Dozen, which is a list of a variety of schemes that people promote and use. They claim that the 16th Amendment, which authorizes an income tax, was never actually ratified, that a provision of the Internal Revenue Code numbered 861 actually says that only income you earn outside the United States is taxable, which of course is complete and utter nonsense, that there is such a thing as black slavery reparations, and if you are descended from people who were once enslaved in the United States, that the Federal Treasury will write you a big check, and there are a variety of other scams.
Well, is this a busy time for you this time of year?
We're busy all year long, actually. It does happen that the first part of April is the time when most people are paying attention to what we do, and there is, to some extent, a flurry of activity that's a little bit heavier than other times of the year, simply because the statute of limitations on crimes runs after a period of time, and April 15 is the date that a lot of statutes do run.
So that's you're hurrying to file indictments by the 14th.
Right.
Yeah.
By the 15th.
By the 15th. All right. Eileen O'Connor, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Eileen O'Connor, the Assistant Attorney General in the Tax Division at the U.S. Justice Department. She joined us by phone from her office here in Washington. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Roger. Roger's with us from Denver, Colorado.
Yes, indeed. I had a strange experience today through my accountant. We filed electronically, and my tax return was rejected three times electronically because apparently somebody somewhere in the country, hopefully they're listening, used my Social Security number as one of their dependents. And I'm nobody's dependent. I'm 50 years old. And we called the IRS, and they told us that it couldn't be resolved electronically and that I'd have to file by paper today or tomorrow.
Bert DeMars?
Well, that's too bad you had that experience. And sometimes that does occur where someone has accidentally used a Social Security number, and or they just transpose numbers and that it came into our system. Yeah, it'll get resolved through that process. One of the things is that hopefully your accountant called our preparer help desk and identified this as a key problem that he ran into. So that we can look into it and see if there's ways we can fix this in the future. There are things we're working on on the back-end systems, but, yeah, I'm sorry you had this problem.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to a good outcome. Thanks for a great show.
Okay, Roger, thank you. Here's an email from Gus Schick in Millville, New Jersey. I e-filed a couple of days ago and made an error entering last year's gross adjusted income, which is needed to sign the return, as you pointed out earlier. The IRS rejected the return, but I was able to correct the error and refile within a day or so. But what happens if you wait till the last minute and e-file and find out on April 16th that your return was rejected by the IRS?
Well, that's one of those things where, probably the best thing to do is to give us a call when that happens, and just check with us and let us know what happened for you. And I think we're fairly reasonable on that level, especially for things like this where we know it's an error, we know it's an issue, and it could have occurred. So that's one of the things I would suggest. Just call in and let us know what happened, and I'm sure we'll be able to resolve it quickly.
Okay. And another email question, this from Dave in Boulder, Colorado. I unfortunately need to file an extension every year. I understand from the announcement on the phone filing system that will not be available next year. How come?
Oh, so what he's talking about is our telefile system. And the telefile system, this is the last year for telefile. Telefile was a system that's been available for several years. And, you know, it's older technology, and actually it is now the most expensive tax return we received to date. And what's happened over time is it's actually been declining in usage year over year. It's down 14% this year. It's been going down 10% a year for about 3 or 4 years. So we have to switch people over to e-file and to our free file solution.
So as technology changes, you move from one technology to another.
Right. And they can e-file an extension as well next year.
We're going to let you go in just a minute, Bert. But is the goal ultimately to have more and more and more people e-file until finally maybe paper technology is out the window too?
Well, I think our goal is to get as close to that as possible. Congress gave us a goal of 80% by 2007. we're trying to reach it. It's going to be very difficult to reach it, and it may not be achievable at this point, but we're still going to keep striving for it. We will get to a point, though, someday where we'll reach, you know, niche segments of the population that are just not going to go electronic. I mean, if you think about it, there are different cultures that don't use computers and don't want anything to do with them. And so those groups will have to figure out and make a paper process available to them.
Bert Dumars, thanks very much for coming in. We know you're very busy, and we appreciate your time today.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Bert Dumars is director of the Electronic Tax Administration of the Internal Revenue Service. We'll continue taking calls with Charles Rosati, the author of Many Unhappy Returns, One Man's Quest to Turn Around the Most Unpopular Organization in America. When we come back from a break, we'll also be talking with Charlie Brotman, who announced for the Washington Senators for 16 years before the baseball team left this town in 1971. Tonight, he comes back on the mic at RFK Stadium. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we're concluding our discussion about income taxes. Tomorrow, midnight, of course, is the filing deadline. Do you think the government does enough to collect what's owed, and does it go about it the right way? 800-989-8255, email totn@npr.org. And our guest is former IRS Commissioner Charles Rosati, author of Many Unhappy Returns, One Man's Quest to Turn Around the Most Unpopular Organization in America. And that last phrase, Charles Rosati, let me ask you about that. At various times, both political parties say the other political party is the one that wants to put an IRS at your kitchen table when you're filling out the return. Does not that contribute to the IRS's status as the most unpopular organization in America?
Well, you know, you notice the other part of the title was the turnaround. I think actually there has been a turnaround. It literally was true that in about 96 and 97, all public surveys shows that, you know, that the IRS was at the absolute bottom of anything that had ever been surveyed. And there were some reasons for that. It was hard to do business, you know, some of the issues about whether they were picking on the little guy. And it did turn around significantly. The IRS will never be as, you know, popular as Disney World, but the average taxpayer began to feel that at least it was being treated reasonably, and they did respond. So I don't know whether it deserves that epithet anymore. I think one of the important things about collecting is that you have to understand that more than 80% of the people in this country, probably close to 85, very diligently pay their taxes. And they're the ones that actually pay most of the taxes. So there's no reason why those people should be adversaries of the IRS. I mean, the only thing the IRS has to do with them is give them a good e-file system and, you know, make it easy to do business. Where it needs to apply its compliance enforcement resources is to the other people who are not the ones who are paying. And, you know, in that respect, the IRS is always on the side of the honest taxpayer.
But didn't the push to have a friendlier, more user-friendly IRS, doesn't that also involve maybe not pressing quite so hard on collections? And doesn't that contribute to that $300 billion gap?
Couldn't disagree with you more. It has nothing to do with it. Okay, the people who are honestly paying their taxes need to have no hassle whatsoever. Okay, there's no reason to be hard on somebody that's already paying. What you need to do is to be appropriately hard on the people who are not paying, and that's a minority of people. So, you know, I think that the right answer is not to do one or the other, not to say that, you know, we have to either knock heads and collect taxes or not knock heads and not collect taxes. To be an effective organization, what you have to do is to provide decent, good service, quality service like e-file to the people who are actually paying, honestly, which is most people, and then conserve your enforcement resources to not knock heads on the good people, but to go out and, you know, do what Eileen O'Connor says, but put the tax cheats in jail. And they're two different sets of people.
Mm-hmm. It is also important for listeners to remember that the IRS and the tax code are the IRS is not responsible for the tax code. It just enforces it.
Well, that's another very important point. A lot of the problems, some of the problems that some of your listeners mentioned really have to do with the tax code, which is, of course, passed by the Congress and often, you know, with the cooperation of the presidential administration. And I have to say that while it may be getting easier to do business with the IRS in terms of e-filing and things like that, it's definitely getting harder to cope with the tax code because in the last, 20 years, there's been 14,000 changes to the tax code. While I was in office, they passed 4 bills a year.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, again, having been through this experience, it seems like the perennial promise of every administration is that they're going to simplify the tax code.
Well, actually, you know, there haven't really been as many promises to simplify as you think. President Reagan was the only, together with members of Democratic members of Congress, did a major simplification in 1986, and no one has really even promised a major simplification until President Bush said he was going to do it in his second term. So during that period, all that happened is people promised more special incentives or more breaks or more more things of that kind, each of which made the tax code more complicated. So it's really been a long time since any president or anybody really said that it was a high priority for them to simplify the tax code. They were just really making the opposite kinds of promises, which is they were going to put more special breaks in, which only makes it more complicated.
We're going to let you go, but I do have to ask, have you filed already?
You know, I'm one of those people who filed automatically for an extension but paid my cash taxes. So, yes, I've paid them, but I will do my final filing in August when I get the rest of my data that I need.
And it is also important to remember that if you're filing for an extension and anybody's entitled to at least one, you do have to pay any taxes you're going to owe by the end of that period, tomorrow.
You have to pay at least what you would owe by tomorrow, but you can automatically get an extension to file the return.
Okay, Charles Rosati, thanks very much. We appreciate your time today. Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Charles Rosati's book is Many Unhappy Returns, One Man's Quest to Turn Around the Most Unpopular Organization in America. He was IRS Commissioner from 1997 to 2002, and he joined us from the studios of member station WBUR in Boston.